understanding of what the Bible says and the last words of Jesus and what he said. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray and then we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the opportunity now to open it together. Help us to understand and glean and be challenged and reminded and learn. I pray that if there's someone here that's not saved, that they would hear the gospel and understand it and their need for salvation. For those of us who have heard and received the gospel already, that we would recognize the next step that you have for us, and that we would take this wonderful opportunity and obey you and do what's right with it. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in verse 19 of Matthew 28, Go. Go. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. If you go to the end of Mark chapter number 16, verse 15, it says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now Jesus, for 3.5 years, said to his disciples, Come. Come. And they would follow him. And they came and followed him. But now, after he's taught them, and after he's died on the cross, and now he's risen from the grave, now he's telling them, now you go. And as soon as he was done telling them this, in Acts chapter number 1, it says that he left the earth and ascended into heaven and will come back the same way someday. But your job and my job is to go. If you're a Christian, our job is to go. In fact, if you're writing and filling in the blanks in the bulletin there, witnessing is obeying the Lord. Witnessing is obeying the Lord. We need to do this because he said to, someone called it the Great Commission, that we go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so this is what we're to do. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. I don't know what your impression of church is. I don't know what you think when we say the word church. What is church to you? Well, church is where all of our friends get together. Oh, hopefully that's true. And church is where we have nice singing, and hopefully that's true. And church is where we're given a message that will maybe teach us or inspire us or challenge us, and hopefully that's true. But you know what church really is? Church is about doing what we just read. Church is about going and teaching the gospel. And that's our job. And then after someone gets saved and they receive the gospel, then it says, and baptize them. And we do that. We have a baptistry behind me here. We baptize people wherever we can, but we baptize people after they've been saved. So they receive the gospel, the plan of salvation, they get baptized. And then it says in verse 20, and teach them whatsoever, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so church really is wrapped up in those two verses, because after you get saved, then the job of us is to go out and to reach someone else with the gospel. What is the most important thing about an apple tree? What's the number one expectation of an apple tree? Apples, right? And yet around here we have a lot of plum trees with no plums and apple trees with no apples. I mean, it's South Dakota, right? You know, it's the Black Hills. We're just glad that they got leaves on them. But honestly, it's disappointing to have a plum tree with no plums. We all know that's not the point of the plum tree or the apple tree. We want to see the fruit, because in the fruit is the seed to start all over again. Well, Christian, if you are saved, but you're not reproducing, you're kind of disappointing too. Okay? Because you're just there, but where's the reproduction? Now, this week, like never before, this week, we have opportunity for the world to come right here. In fact, they've already got here. I mean, I can't find a place to park downtown when I go to the bank. They're already here, and they're going to be here and loud next week with their loud pipes and all the other tourists. And so what an opportunity. I mean, I was talking to someone was asking me about hunting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and how I was telling them, yeah, during the migration, they're coming out of Yellowstone, they're coming out of the wilderness there, and they're migrating down into the elk refuge there just north of Jackson. And so we just sit there outside the refuge, and we just kind of sit there and wait for the migration. I mean, it was just, you know, it's feast or famine. They're just pouring across there. Well, you know, right now they're pouring into Custer, or they will be. And so there's just no excuse for us to say, well, I just couldn't go to all the world and preach the gospel. Well, sure you can, because the world's coming right to you. The stream's flowing right by here. And the truth is, we should be sharing the gospel wherever. I was traveling quite a bit yesterday, and I had several of these tracts, and I would give them to the kids. I said, hey, kid, now make sure when you go in, you hand somebody one of these, and we leave one, you know, and be polite, and pay for our food, and give them one to read. And wherever we go, you know, I got that little credit card machine at the gas pump. You slide it in. Well, I folded one of these up and stuck it in there. They're going to have to pull that thing out before they can get their credit card in. You know, I'm not going to be obnoxious about it, but I want to try to give people and share people the good news of the gospel. That's the whole purpose of this week. It's why we have the different tracts that we have and different pieces of literature that people have written to try to reach people with the gospel. So number one, go. And how do we go? We go with the assurance of your own salvation. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Bible tells us we can know that we're saved. If you're here and you're not even sure you're saved, I'd love to talk with you after church about that. I'd love to sit down with you, or maybe my wife sit down with you if you're a lady, and just privately talk to you about how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Because the Bible tells us that we can know that we're saved. You know, that's one of the tricks of false religion. A false religion will constantly tell you, you gotta keep coming back if you wanna stay saved. If you wanna get to where you wanna go, you gotta be a member right here. Sounds like my old chiropractor. Why don't you just fix me and quit telling me to come back next week, you know? Because they gotta have you come back. You know what? I'll be perfectly honest with you. You don't have to come back here ever again. But you could still go to heaven without this place. You don't need this place in order to go to heaven. You just need the gospel of the Word of God. Now, of course, we hope you come back, because I think obeying the Bible and obeying everything the Bible teaches means that we go back to church and we learn more than we learned last week. But, you know, the false religions don't have the assurance of salvation. That was one thing that I think Bob told me about Catholicism. I just never knew for sure if I was saved. Just always kind of hoping, but always left with the understanding that I better come back and I better keep following the sacraments or doing whatever. Salvation isn't that. That's man's idea. That's the idea of doing versus done. Christ has done it all. There is no more doing involved. We talked about that in Sunday school and how that Christ was the Lamb of God and the blood was shed for us. His blood, the life of Christ, the life of the Lamb, was shed, and that precious blood of Christ is what saves us from sin and trusting in Him and Him alone. So when you go, obviously, there has to be assurance. You can't talk to someone else about the gospel if you're not even sure of it yourself. Secondly, under go, there's the knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. And you say, okay, Pastor, right there, you got me, because I don't know much, and I'm pretty dense. Well, you know what? This has the gospel in it. Look how small that is right there. You don't need to know the entire Bible to be able to go. As a matter of fact, the man that we're using his DVD, and praise God, he did not copyright these. You know, these are free to give out. We pay for them, the burning of them, but there's no copyright. But this man, I remember years ago him telling his story about how that he had never talked to someone one-on-one about the Lord. He knew he should, but he was nervous. And he was involved in one of these types of booths, and he said his job was just to go out and invite them. Hey, would you want to come back and talk to one of my friends here? And he said he invited someone, and he said, well, let's go in, and I'll just introduce you to this person. You can talk to him about the Bible. And he opened up the back curtain there, and it was lunch break. They were gone. He said it was a big football player. And he thought, oh, no, now what do I do? And he's staring at the empty room, and the big guy says, what do we do now? And he had one of these in his pocket, and he said, Well, I guess I could. And he started reading it to him. Just started reading it, word for word. And he said, So what do you think? And the guy said, well, I think I want to pray to be saved. And he led him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't really know much about it. I mean, he knew he was saved, but he'd never done it before. You know, it's kind of like when you have your first child. You know, I've never done this before. Yeah, but it's happened thousands of times, and the Creator wants it to happen. Don't get overworked up about it. You know what I want to remind you of? It ain't you, right? It's not you. It's God. You just be willing to give out the good news. He said, when that football player walked away, he stood there and said, God, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, but I want to do something like this for the rest of my life. Because it's a wonderful thing when you can lead someone to the Lord. It's an awesome privilege. It's a glorious thing. You know, yesterday I said to the evangelist at the camp, I said, now where are you going tomorrow for church? You're going to be at a church tomorrow? He said, yeah, we're going to be in Lockwood. It's close to Billings, just outside of Billings. I said, oh. He said, yeah, a pastor, and he named the pastor. I said, ah. He said, you know him? I nodded my head, and I said, yeah. At age 17, he and I were friends, and I invited him to church, and after church, I said, Larry, have you ever been saved? And Larry said, no. He said, can I talk to you? I said, can I talk to you about it? And I led Larry to the Lord. And Larry's now a pastor. Now, that's a wonderful privilege. That's a blessing. I don't know if you read the back of the bulletin yet or not. Hopefully you're not going to read it right now. But it talks about the domino effect. Because now Larry's having church up in Montana, and there's an evangelist there today, and other people are hearing the gospel. Hey, do you have someone maybe that got saved because of you? Now, I give the credit to God. It wasn't me. In fact, someone else did the preaching that night. I just invited him to church. Is there somebody sitting in this room that got saved because of you? You know, I would not want to go to heaven and not have someone there that I had a part in getting them there. When I get to heaven, there'll be some, not thousands, but there'll be some that will come up to me and say, hey, I remember you handed me that tract, or I remember you showed me how to be saved, or whatever it might be. But you know what? I want more of those. The Bible says in Psalm 126, when you go forth, they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, and that's what this is, the Word of God, seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Years ago, we did this very same biker booth with the creation theme when we had these DVDs. In fact, back then we were burning them ourselves, and we were making our own labels on them and everything. And it didn't look nearly as professional as this one, a little more cheesy, you know, but it's the same presentation. And we even got Matt Bruner to dress up like a gorilla in August. And just for a joke, we put a sandwich board over the gorilla's suit, and it said, Willie Vol for food. You know, I don't know why we did that, but we did it. And so then he was at the booth, but then he started going, and he started just handing them out. He'd go up and down the sidewalk, and I don't know how many he handed out, and I don't know how many people watched them, but I know one lady watched it because she was working at Flintstones. We used to have Flintstones here in town. She was working at Flintstones with Ed and Tom. Tom's in heaven. Ed's sitting right over here. And she said, you know, this Flintstone millions of years stuff, that's not really true. She said, one time a gorilla gave me a DVD, and I watched it, and I learned a lot about creation in the Bible. And Ed and Tom said, we know that gorilla. He goes to our church. And that lady said, he does? What church do you go to? And they said, Mountain View Baptist Church. She said, oh, I'm a Catholic. They said, well, come to church anyway. I'll never forget the day that Ed walked in with a lady I'd never seen before. And she got saved a few weeks after that. And it all started right here with somebody giving her a DVD. You know something? We don't know what God's going to do. That's just one person that lives in Custer. But there's thousands that move. They live somewhere else. And they'll get back home. They won't remember the name of the town they were in. They'll just say, you know, somebody handed me this and it made a difference. So when you go with determination to go in obedience and faith. See, it says in 2 Peter 3:9, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be perfectly honest. I'm the preacher, right? I'm the one in charge of this whole thing. But I promise you, there'll be some time in the next 10 days we'll all start feeling kind of lousy. I'll probably start to get ready to set up the booth, and there'll be somebody looking at me like this. And it'll just make me want to crawl into a hole. And maybe I'll say, hey, would you like one of these? That's stupid stuff. And I'll feel like crawling in a hole. I'm just being honest with you. My flesh is just like anybody else's flesh. And I'll get discouraged. But you know, let me tell you something. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, including the grumpy people. That means that God's more interested in this whole thing than even we are. And it's very possible that you and I will make a difference we'll never hear about until we get to heaven. Now, I love that story about Larry, my friend Larry, who's a pastor. Because that's tangible. I can show you that story. But you know, there's a lot of stories we might not get to show or see until we get to heaven. There's plenty of stories where somebody says, well, I don't know who it was, but this person gave me this, or I found this track on the ground. And we won't get to give proper credit until we get in. That's all right. Heaven's going to be filled with those kinds of stories. But do you realize the domino effect that this all has? For instance, there are plenty of people in this room that are saved. You have received the gospel. You all can then think of who it was that reached you. Who reached you? How did it happen? That's the domino effect. Because whoever it was that reached you got reached themselves, who got reached by someone else. And it trickles down. It's the domino effect of the gospel. Hey, do you think there's ever been a time in the history of the Sturgis Bike Rally that a young woman was enticed to do something that was going to forever change her life? And what if that young lady was raised in a home, or maybe had a Christian grandmother who told her things from the Bible? And just as she meets up with some guy and she's starting to think things and consider things that she shouldn't do, she comes by this booth that these church people have. And they give her some lemonade and they give her a cookie and they say, here, by the way, do you know anything about going to heaven when you die? Could I give you something to read? And it sparks something in her heart. And it pricks her heart, and she thinks of Grandma's words, and she thinks of these words, and she changes her mind about what she was planning on doing that night. Do you think that might have ever happened in the history of the world? You know, the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. We're to be the salt of the earth. You know what salt is? It's a preservative. Salt is an irritant, and it stings, but it's a preservative. Hey, you can complain about America all you want to, but if you're not willing to be salt and light, you're the problem. Stop complaining if you're not going to get down there and do something. I'm more into this than I am the politics. I'm more into this event than I am the... Why? Because someone who is very, very, very important said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's our opportunity to be salt. Remember, the angel, probably the Lord himself, said to Abraham, if I can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy Sodom. And the sad thing is, he should have been able to find 10, but he couldn't. We can do all the complaining about things if we want. If you want, you can do all that if you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not what the freedom of speech is really for. And we still have it. And we have opportunity to give the gospel out and to share the gospel with someone and to make a difference and to influence lives. Maybe there's someone that's thinking about committing a murder. You say, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. No, that's not ridiculous. Instead, they find one of these and it pricks their heart. I don't know. I think God knows, though, these behind-the-scenes background stories. Maybe there's a young lady that's considering strongly having an abortion. Remember John Getch, who was here in January, telling the story about a young lady who had planned to drive to an abortion clinic to have an abortion. And she got pulled over by a police officer for having a taillight out and ended up getting a ticket. And all the time and money she was going to spend at the abortion clinic, she ended up down at the jail. But God used that to change her mind and to reach her with the gospel. Today that lady's baby is in a family, a Christian family, and that girl herself got saved. Our friend Kevin Meyer is going to be here next week. Not only does he talk about creation, but he talks about abortion as well. And he's not afraid to confront people. And I want to tell you something else about this opportunity that you have. You have the opportunity to be with someone who will do all the talking, and you can watch and listen and learn. A couple years ago, my 16-year-old son was down there, and some 16-year-old guys and 18-year-old guys came up to him and started asking him a lot of questions about the Bible. Some of those questions, I don't know if he knew the answers, but you know what? He did a pretty good job. And I realized, on top of everything else, it's teaching. It's a teaching time. I mentioned a minute ago about studying the Word of God. You know what motivates me to study is when I realize I have to. And what makes me realize I have to is when I'm down at the booth on the street talking to people and they start asking me questions. So what about this? What about this? Well, that's a good question. And I dig into it and I find the answers. Maybe there's somebody down there that's a very intelligent person and they're just wanting to know if there's truth out there. And maybe they come across someone that says, you know what, I don't have all the answers, but I can give you some things to read and look at. And that honest heart goes home and reads and watches and listens and finds the truth. You need to go with assurance, you need to go with knowledge, you need to go with determination. But go with this, go with the understanding, this is what God said to do. And it doesn't matter if our going seems to be a waste of time. I love the story of the guy that was given out a New Testament. Well, it was little Gideon New Testament. He was down on the street corner and he was giving these out. And he gave to one guy and he looked at it. He didn't want it. He was very cynical about it. At the same time, there was a guy up on the roof of the building just above them and he was tarring the roof. And he was so despondent. He was filled with despair and he said, I'm going to kill myself. God, if you're real, you better show me because I'm killing myself today. Down below, the man handed the guy a little Gideon New Testament. And the guy, I don't want that. And he chucked it. It hit the guy on the roof right in the head. He looked down and there was a Bible that just hit him in the head. And he picked it up and started reading and got saved. Hey, you know what? Maybe you don't know a lot, but you could at least be the person to hand them the answer. What's wrong with that? Don't you think God will bring the right people across your path? Don't ever think it's a waste of time. In fact, the Bible says that His Word doesn't return void. This is not a waste of our time to do what we're doing this coming week. This is a great opportunity for so many reasons I've given you already. And the domino effect, I believe with all my heart, is that God looks down and says, well, that church reaches people with the gospel. I want to make sure they keep doing it. I want to help them and support them. I think He's way more impressed with that than He is how good we can sing, or whether or not we pave our parking lot. I hope we never pave our parking lot. The snowplower wants us to pave our parking lot, but I hope we never do. You know why? Because we don't need it. It's okay. I'm just saying, we can keep getting more comfortable and make things nicer, but I think God's more interested in this right here than He is all that, don't you? You say, well, what do we tell them, Pastor? It says, Teach all nations, all right? Let's talk about it before we leave. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. And we'll spend most of our time here right in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3 in verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." The truth is, there is no perfect person. There is none righteous. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every human being is a sinner. All have sinned. It says in Romans 5:12, "By one man," that would be Adam, "sin entered in the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We are sinners. The first thing we have to tell someone, if you get into a conversation, of course all of this is listed in these little tracts that we give out, but the first thing you have to understand in order to be saved is you are a sinner. You might not have committed the same sins as somebody else committed, but you're both sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I liken it to an arrow and a target, and the arrow flies through the air, but just as it gets close to the target, it falls short and lands below the target. Doesn't matter how close. Close isn't good enough if it's fallen short. Or standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and pretending that you are going to jump across the Grand Canyon. And you say, "Well, I can only jump 5 feet, but I've got here this guy that can jump 75 feet. He is the Olympic record holder. He is the longest jumper the world has ever seen." Well, the truth is, whether you're 5 foot or you're 75 foot, you're both going to jump to your death, because no one can reach the other side of the Grand Canyon jumping. And that's like standing on the edge of eternity and saying, "I'm going to jump to heaven." No one can do that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, the Bible says in 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Mikey, what are the wages of sin? I just asked you the question. I gave you the answer. The wages of sin is death. What is wages? Anything that we did that we have coming to us. Any earnings that we have. That's what wages are. And the wages of sin is death. And so we see all have sinned and all must die because of our sin. That's why everybody dies. When someone has a death in their family, I try to explain to them as kindly as I can that this is just something that happens because we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. Now, you go with me and keep your finger right there and go over to Revelation chapter 20. It says in Revelation 20 verse 14 and 15, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Here's what you have to understand. When someone dies, they go somewhere. They go to heaven or they go to hell. And dying the first time is not the end of everything. And dying the first time is not the worst thing there is, because the second death is hell. And there are a lot of people, when they die, that's just the beginning of the end, because the second death is eternal lake of fire. But if you're saved, you'll never die twice. But the unsaved will die twice in hell. And then Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. Now, the reason why Jesus came is because he didn't want us to go to hell. There is no one that Jesus Christ wants to be in hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, Jesus talked about hell more than heaven. Not because Jesus was interested in people going to hell, but rather because Jesus was concerned about people going to hell. And so understand that Christ died. Now, if people don't understand hell, you say, "Pastor, I don't like this talk about hell." I don't like to talk about it either. But if people don't understand why they need to be saved, they might not want to be saved. It's kind of like if you're on an airplane. Someone gave this illustration. I think it's a good one. You're on an airplane and you're sitting down next to someone on the airplane, and all of a sudden they go around and they're giving out peanuts, and they're giving out, well, they don't peanuts anymore. They're giving out pretzels, and they're giving out water or you know, ginger ale or whatever it is they're giving out, you know, and oh yeah, I'll take a pop and I'll take some pretzels, thank you. And then they come back down the aisle and they say, here's a parachute. Well, what do I need that for? Well, just in case the plane might crash. Yeah, but that thing's so bulky. I mean, these seats are so tight as it is, I don't have room for a parachute. And you say, no thanks, I don't want the parachute. But what if they go up and down the aisle saying, the plane is going to crash? How many of you take the parachute then? Everybody. Well, you know what? That's how it is with the gospel. You are going to die. Anybody here challenge that? Anybody here not going to die someday? You are going to die. Therefore, you need to be saved. You will go to hell if you die without Jesus. That's why you need Jesus. He's the parachute. And so when we talk to people about salvation, we have to talk about sin, and we have to talk about hell, because that's the whole point. I'm not going to stand down there and get warm and hot and sweaty and sunburnt and hand out free lemonade and cookies and not tell people the whole story. You need to be saved, because without it, you're on your way to hell. That's the point. Christ died for us. So back in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love the fact that it says gift. And it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace that we're saved, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Because a gift has to be believed and received. If I was talking to someone, I'd say, hey, you know, you took this DVD from me. It's a gift to you. And you believe that it'll really work. And you receive it freely from me. And you go home and you use it. Salvation's the same way. You believe that Jesus really died on the cross to pay for your sin. And you receive it for yourself. Now, I can't force someone to take salvation. Just like you can't force someone to take any gift. You can't force a gift on someone. But if you want to receive it, you will receive it. If they want to believe it, they will believe it. And so it's up to them. It's my job to tell them, and now it's up to them to either believe it or reject it. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His gift cannot be earned. It has to be received. And so then Romans chapter 10, and this is usually where I end up. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine head that God hath raised, in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, not just the head, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, sometimes people say, well, yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross. Their head believes that. They know historically that there was a Jesus and He did die on a cross. But notice it says heart. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. There's a difference between believing with your head and believing with your heart. I try to tell people about the time there was a man that stretched a tightrope across the waterfalls. I think it was the Niagara Falls. He stretched this rope across there, and he got up on top of the rope, and he walked across the rope and came back. Then he went and got a wheelbarrow, and he put some sand in the wheelbarrow, went across and came back. And then he went and got his dog, and he put his dog in the wheelbarrow, and he carefully went across the rope and came back. And people were amazed at his ability. And by this time, he stopped, and he had a crowd of people, and he said, how many of you think I could put a man in the wheelbarrow and go across? And several people raised their hand and said, I believe you could do it. And so he pointed to one of the people with their hand raised and said, okay, sir, how about you? And that man pulled his hand down and ran as fast as he could. Because it's one thing to say, I believe Jesus can save people. It's another thing to say, I believe He could save me. And I'm willing to get into the wheelbarrow. See, when you put yourself in the wheelbarrow, that's when you're trusting Him. That's when you're turning away from whatever else you're trusting in, and you're trusting only in Christ. There are people who have been taught all their life that they had to get baptized, or they had to do this, or they had to do that, and that would save them. And that wasn't the truth. And they have to turn from that. We heard the letter from the Native American population. They have to turn from whatever it is they're trusting in and put their faith and trust only in Christ. No matter what it is, no matter what the background, and it's a matter of turning from whatever it is you're trusting in and placing it only in Christ and Him alone. And so then it says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And whosoever means anybody. And that's what I would tell people and have told people how to be saved. You might not get all of that out. You might not have time or even remember all of that. And that's why we have these. That's why we have things to give them, so they can take it with them and review it and listen on their own. A year and a half ago when COVID started, we bought a camera and we recorded a video. That thing has been watched many, many times, and I've tried to explain the gospel the same way I explained it now, for the purpose of people understanding the truth of the gospel so they can be saved. And that's our job, friend. That's the whole purpose. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Sometimes we send. We put our money in the plate to help send. We buy these things to help send. But don't just send. You have to go. Maybe you've got neighbors you need to go to. Maybe you've got co-workers you need to go to. And right now, this very week, there is a time slot, I'm sure, that you've got a time open where you could carve out an hour or two and write down your name and have part in the going. And you might even be able to stand down there and say, "You know what? I really don't know much. I know I believe this and I got saved and I'm a part of this church now and I don't have all the answers, but I know God does." And that person might be standing there looking at you, and they might be some kind of an engineer somewhere, a PhD or whatever, and they might be twice the intellectual you are, but you know what? That doesn't mean God can't use you to reach them. You don't have to be smart. That's why we let Mr. Spear come. I'm just kidding. You don't have to be knowledgeable in the higher. You just have to have a desire. If that person knows that you care, and you look them right in the eye and say, "You know what? I don't know everything, but I know this is true." That's honest. Don't try to pretend like you know everything when you don't. Just be honest and say, "You know, we're just trying to reach people. Somebody made the lemonade. Somebody took an awful lot of time to make all these cookies. We set up this booth. We paid money for the spot so we could have this booth. And we're just trying to reach people with the gospel." That's what we're trying to do. That's the whole job. That's our whole job. Now, yeah, we can talk about, and we do. On Sunday nights, we've been talking about the false religions. And usually before church or after church, when people are having coffee, pretty soon we start talking politics. And we can talk about, I've been in camp all week, so I don't even know what's going on in the world. I'll be honest with you, I'm really happy. But I heard somebody say something about a Delta or something like that. Look, you can talk about your Deltas all you want to. Listen, that's not the answer. That's not going to fix it. I'll tell you what will fix it. People getting saved and their heart changing. Now, that's what I told you today is what church is supposed to be all about. There's a lot of churches have gotten away from it. They're feeding the poor, and they're making Afghans for some kids somewhere, and they're doing all these wonderful things, and that's not bad. But they're not going and preaching the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And lastly, witnessing is done by having witnessed Him yourself. You can't be a witness until you've witnessed it for yourself. So if you're not saved, you're not going to be able to witness. I mean, that's just logic. You can't go to court and claim to be a witness if you didn't see anything. If you don't know anything, you're not a witness. But if you've been saved, you know. I mean, if you've been saved, you can tell them how you got saved. If you've been saved, then you can tell someone how you got saved. That's a witness. And we all can be a witness. Let me encourage you. Don't go cold turkey by yourself. I'm not trying to push you into that. But let me encourage you to take opportunity to be at the booth. You say, "But I'm old and decrepit." Sit in the lazy boy chair. I will put the lazy boy chair down there for you. Get yourself a wheelchair and wheel around if you need to. Get a stool. get a scooter, whatever you want. If you want a cot, we'll put a cot down there. The point is that if you will speak up and say something, it will speak to people. I don't know who's going to come by. I don't know what their background is. I don't know what their personal needs are. But if you're willing to just be there and say, hey, we're just calling out to you and asking you, would you take time to read this or watch this? We care. We're just trying to show you how to be saved. Can you do that? That's what our job is. That's what this church is supposed to be all about. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I'm not asking you to do this because we need more volunteers. I'm asking you to do this because you need to do it. You need to do it. It's good for you. It's obedience to the Lord. But more importantly, maybe there's someone here that says, you know, Pastor, I don't know that I have been saved. I don't know that I have received the gospel for me yet. And I'd like to talk with you or your wife or somebody about that right after church. Would there be someone that would lift your hand and say, that's me. I need to talk with you about salvation. Anyone at all. I pray for me, Pastor. I don't think I'm saved. I don't think if I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Would there be anyone that would lift your hand and just look at me and say, that's me. I would like to talk with you about it. Anyone at all. Secondly, you might say, I know I'm saved, but wasn't planning on having a part in the booth, but I think I need to. I think the Lord showed me that I need to have a part, not just at the booth, but all the time, giving people the gospel. If the Lord spoke to you about that, you need to talk to Him about it today and ask Him to help you and show you and teach you to be a better witness. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for opportunities that we have that we squander. So many times I'm so busy and I'm so stressed that I forget what my job is. I don't have something ready to give or ready to say. And I wasted my opportunities. And I'm doing all these other things, but I'm not doing what you said to do, and that is to go and teach all nations. Help us to get back to the simplicity of the main thing. And to just go. Help that one that thinks that they wouldn't be a very good witness to realize that they probably would be an amazing witness. That one that doesn't think they could do it, help them to realize that it's not them, it's going to be you that does it. And help us to all have a part and to reach others and to make a difference and to be salt and light and to reach that young person or that old person who's thinking of some terrible things right this week and they need someone to throw them a life preserver. And I pray for the one that might be here right now that they can't say they're saved and they know it. Help them to reach out for help and ask for your salvation. Lord, we thank you and praise you for our blessings, for the opportunity we have this week and all of our lives to continue to spread the seed and share the gospel. Help us to go with determination to just obey you and let you take care of the rest. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.